When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Deck maintenance isn't fun. Move the furniture and barbecue, sand and prep, paint, seal, or get a low-maintenance Trex deck. The only color fade you'll have to deal with is watching the sunset. Trex, the world's number one decking brand.
On SEN, this is the Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club.
Welcome to another massive edition of the Melbourne Storm Hour. Shandor Earl, Cooper Johns have joined me. Sam Hargraves, in a week that the Storm have secured the minor premiership, so it is absolutely time to celebrate what's been a fantastic season for the Melbourne Storm. And Shandor Earl, you've brought a very special guest along. Who is this moustached man that you've brought into the studio, please?
Yes, the great Mo Little Pappy. Introduce yourself.
Yes, thanks for having me on, lads. Yeah, it's first time in studio. You just brushed me a few weeks ago, so it's good to get in here. And
apologies about the rudeness from young Sam Hargraves.
Mm. What's your week been like, Ryan? How's it been?
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
Thank you, mate. No, I appreciate that.
Sounds familiar.
Still funny, though.
It still, mate, gives us a chuckle. Ryan, it's great to have you here because that was a sensational win for the Storm, 36-6 to wrap up the minor premiership. It's their third minor premiership for the Storm in 4 years. Incredible run of success. This was a really important game after what happened with Manly last time, the Golden Point, Daly Cherry Evans. And they looked on early, Manly, the big hit that Cameron Munster copped and just jumped straight back up from George Taofua. How important was this win?
I love it when you pronounce the Polynesian names.
That was right.
Taofua. Mate, we've actually Taofua. Just seen on Instagram, he's made the House of Highlights page. Now, you wouldn't know that, being a non-millennial, but it's a 14 million subscriber?
Follower
page. It's
a big
he's
American
just gone
page.
Viral for getting absolutely belted in America. I feel for him because obviously he's a gun and that's what he's going to be known for, but wow, what a hit.
Just
Little Pappy
just
was
to
also,
clarify, yes. It was Munster. You said Taofua smashed Munster. Munster made it.
Taofua smashed Munster.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's fine.
Thanks. Pretty sure I said that.
No, I'm pretty sure he said Taofua.
Can we dump that?
Well, let's go to the bunker.
Anyway, I don't know. Can we send that up? I got no try.
Little Pappy also copped a hit from George Taofua. He was on the end of one.
I did. But luckily it got overshadowed by Munster's colossal hit as well.
Mm. Probably loosened his shoulder up a bit for you, I reckon.
Bit of whiplash.
So.
Justin Olam, hat trick. He was fantastic. It was a very, very accomplished performance from the Storm, who just looked on from the moment that first whistle went, and it looked like a point to prove at Brookvale.
Yeah, I think we sort of had that mentality to go there and just be really relentless. So I think we had a bit of a scare a few weeks ago against Canberra when we went up 18-0. It was the same situation. Manly scored, made it 18-6. We went into half time and we addressed that we need to be a bit better in the second half and close out this game. And luckily enough, the weather conditions sort of helped our style of game and we ran away with it in the end.
Sammy, you mentioned that we had a point to prove. I think that was really evident. The game prep was on, and coming off the last game, I think we wanted to go to Brookvale and really shake things up and put ourselves in a good position before the finals. And with the game, the rain probably played into our hand, but we just found field position. The kicking was amazing. I think we had 6 repeat sets, and we just grinded them out. And as you said, Juzzy had a phenomenal performance. Mm.
This battle for the centres, he's pretty much just put a stamp on it saying there's no way you're getting me out of that centre spot. Justin Olam, hat trick. Phenomenal. And it's been a real interesting positional, I suppose, spot to watch, hasn't it, for the season? Because the competition for that centre spot has been fierce all year.
Yeah. Curtis Scott, Chambers and Olam, they're all world-class centres now. You know, Olam's really put himself up there with one of the best centres in the form centre of the comp, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely got a tough choice coming into finals and, you know, whether, you know, a lot of other clubs will probably be looking at that other centre who isn't playing to maybe poach them.
Yeah, I think they both bring sort of different game styles, and that's pretty handy to have going into finals. You can sort of keep teams guessing and choose a certain player for a certain team. But yeah, Justin's playing outstanding at the moment, and he's really come to life. And with Joshy outside him, they work really well together.
You've been involved in your own positional battle all year, Ryan Pappenhausen. You and Jerome Hughes have sort of been in and out of that fullback position. It looks like you might have cemented it. You were very impressive too on the weekend. How's that been for you this year, and how's that been for both you boys, knowing that that's the competition for that spot's been pretty fierce?
Yeah, I think we've worked really well together. It hasn't really been any bad feelings towards each other. It's sort of what's best for the side and what's going to work this week. So luckily enough, the past few weeks, I've got the opportunity to play fullback, and Hughes has done a brilliant job in the halves. So we just got to work in our combinations. But as I said, we're both happy to play our role for the team at the moment.
If you haven't already, also the hat-trick hero, if you're listening, if you want to hear his story or journey, just head to Fuel by Fire podcast, available on Apple and Spotify. Thank you.
Oh,
great plug.
Wow.
Is that
the only one? That's the only plug for the night?
Well, yeah, it does say in segment two that we do a Fuel by Fire update.
We'll be discussing this week's episode as well. Thank you. Yeah.
We're a bit tight on time, I reckon.
That's done. That, yeah, so we tick that box. No, well done, everybody.
At Fuel by Fire.
That's two now, so you've probably got overs.
Wow.
Well, let's have a chat about this pretty ugly incident, which we never want to see, is whatever happened that was in the tunnel with Will Chambers when he had been involved in some pretty fierce altercations himself, a couple of big hits. So everybody quite pumped up. The emotions are running high at Brookvale. He gets binned. As he's going off, there was somebody reaching very close to him with phone in hand, and allegedly there was an attempt to have a swing at him. The police are still investigating that, and the NRL is still investigating that. But this is a really ugly incident. Well handled, by the way, by both coaches in Craig Bellamy and Des Hasler in the press conferences afterwards. But this is a really unseemly style incident. And for people like this, I just don't think they've got any place in sport. How was it for you guys? And what's the response been and the reaction like on the night and now since?
I was actually speaking to a mate. So a mate's mate of mine is actually a good friend of his. So he's a bit of a...
So hang on, you're mates with the guy?
No, not with the guy himself, but a mate.
You sound very surprised.
middleman. But he's a bit of a local legend, like lives for his footy and Manly, a lifelong supporter. So I think he's pretty devastated about it all and looking at possibly facing not being able to go to another NRL game. But if you look at it, he was trying to take a photo. He's sort of shadow boxing half in and out. The reality is at a stadium like Brookvale, there's too much access, and he shouldn't have gotten that close. And what he did was inappropriate, and he crossed that sort of line. But as you said, I think Will handled it unbelievably, and that's the sort of thing that you probably don't want to see, and the NRL are going to have to take action for to just stop that sort of stuff happening in the future.
I reckon we should almost be doing a litmus test on fans sometimes, because we want passionate fans, we want parochial fans. But if you were asked a question, tick A or B, if you saw two players having an altercation on the field, do you A, just sit and watch, because that's your job as a fan, to sit and watch, or B, do you go and try to get yourself involved in said fracas? If you tick answer B, then you're done, because you clearly don't have the mental capacity to be a fan at football, if that's your relationship with the game that you think you need to insert yourself. You are an out-and-out fool.
I don't think the fans are going to, even if they were going to do it, I don't think they're going to publicly tick B, Sam, because they know what will happen.
This bloke seemed that dumb to me that he probably would.
Hey, that's Shandor's mate there.
Oh, yeah, sorry. sorry, buddy. Ryan, how was it for you guys who were playing in that game, and how was Will after it?
Yeah, I think Will handled it really well, as we touched on there. The good thing out of it was Desi came into the sheds afterwards and apologised on Manly's behalf.
Really?
So it was good to see that. But what was really disappointing was after a win, we usually do a lap of honour. And just because it was a sort of bit of a ugly situation, we weren't able to do that this week. So we all got ushered into the shed straight after the game, which is unfortunate, especially for the Melbourne fans that travelled up to Sydney. But what you said before, like we want the crowd to get around and make sure there's that rivalry still, but it's just, where's that line? And if you're going to cross it, then should you be able to attend any more NRL games?
It reminds me of something last week, Sammy. There was, you look at the battles between Melbourne and Manly in particular, and they've had the all-in brawl a couple of years ago. It was benches, it was staff, everything. But last week, Manly played Raiders, and Fenua Blake come off at the end of the game, and he was sort of doing a bit of a whinging like a crying face. And the reality is, he would have been sprayed by the Raiders fans in that section for about 20 minutes. And if that's what he gives back, adding a bit of his own character and a bit of theatrics to it all, that's okay. But what we're talking about is trying to get too close, or basically attempt to attack a player. That's crossing the line. And as Pap said, it ruins it for everyone, because then we can't interact with the fans, and that's what everyone wants, and that's what we should be working towards.
Absolutely. And Cooper, that would be the worst case scenario in this, that you guys as players go, oh, I'm not so keen to stop now on the way to the bar, or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think the last thing we want is, kids or, super fans that really want us to sign something or, you know, take photos. We don't want us to be ushered out by security straight to buses because of this, you know, I guess this risk now that, you know, of risk of getting punched or attacked. So it's a it's a big shame that someone, you know, like that has sort of made their security hazard a bit more aware, but I don't think they're going to be able to, I don't think they'll take, I hope they don't take that access away from it.
Oh, guys, we've just had a live text message, and this actually is funny because it'll really explain the angst Sam's had with live football. This comes from George from Granville. I kicked a footy at Sam's head when we were about 7 at an AFL game. That's why he hates live football. That's very interesting.
And it hit. And
I knew there was something underlying.
And it hit his toupee off. Wow, what were you wearing a toupee that
day? I knew there was something underlying. There was a childhood issue, and that's why he hates it. I knew it.
No, just when I was playing, unfortunately, the crowd used to try and get involved with me, but that was really just to say, get off the ground, you're awful.
George Taufua said, actually.
Please don't let that be who it was texting in. Interesting that you've got your own text line, Shandor.
Yeah.
Hey, boys, we'll come back. I want to speak about week one of the finals after this. The Knights have got a new coach. There's talk of a second team in Brisbane. We'll give you the details on who Storm will probably going to play in the first week of the finals in a couple of weeks as well, and just get your view on how that top eight's going to be shaped. So plenty more still to come on the Storm Hour. Shandor Earl, Cooper John, special guest Ryan Pappenhausen. Stay tuned, more Storm Hour after this. We are the Storm from Melbourne Town. We'll blow the others off the ground. We are the Storm and we're number one. On SEN, this is the Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club. Welcome back to the Melbourne Storm Hour. Shandor Earl, Cooper John, Sam Hargraves, joined in the studio by a very special guest, a man that we absolutely brutalised when he rang in the other day and just basically hung up on him, and he's been good enough to join us and we turned his mic off straight away. Please introduce our special guest with full name.
The Big Mo, the Little Pappy, Ryan Poopenschmausen Pappenhausen.
Yeah! Ryan, welcome to you. It's great to have you in the studio. Hey, Cam Smith, we know an absolute, one of the game's greatest ever, probably a future immortal, absolutely will be a future immortal. He's just on the brink of making another little piece of history.
Yeah, he is. He's just about to crack the 200 points for the season, so that's a pretty mean feat in any sport, really, but in rugby league especially. He's goal-kicking percentage is still, I think it's the best of his career so far. So he's definitely, he hasn't dropped off that in that regard. But it's good to see him be able to cross the line for a few tries this season as well.
They did a thing this week, Sam, with, I think it was on Fox or NRL Instagram page, and they basically showed the ladder if every team had kicked every goal. There were some significant changes. Melbourne Storm was still at the top, and as Pappy said, he's at 81%, so it's a phenomenal effort, and it's nice to have someone like that kicking goals for you.
It's funny how he reckons he was never a kicker. He only kicked because Matt Alford, moved on, and there was no one else to kick.
It's crazy.
And the same thing with Matt Guy. Matt Guy kicked the 1999, goal to win the game from in front. Toe poked it over. Chris Anderson asked him. He wasn't in the starting side. He said, "Look, we might play on the wing this year because we don't have a goal kicker. Can you goal kick?" And he said, "Yeah, I've been goal kicking my whole career. Never goal kicked before. Just practiced all pre-season."
That sounds like Sammy's interview for when he rocked up to SEN.
Don't you sort of hate...
Mate, I've hosted heaps of shows.
Yeah, I would have been a bit different. Oh, of course I can kick. Don't you hate those people? Just naturally good at everything. No, he's a legend, Cam Smith. I don't know if you saw an article written in the Herald Sun this week by Mark Robinson, who's actually the chief AFL writer, but he loves all his sport. He wrote a great article about that he can't understand the level of vitriol and the animosity that comes towards Cam Smith from sections of the Sydney media and from the Sydney-based rugby league clubs. What is that about? Like, why does that happen? Why is a guy who's absolutely going to be one of the greatest that's ever played, when it's all said and done, he will be an immortal, why is he treated this way by Sydney media?
Yeah, it's crazy. The leadership group had a NRL media day the other week, and I posed the question to the Melbourne media that were in attendance, and I sort of said, now, control for a lack of a better word, but the AFL determine and have some clear guidelines over the media and how they write. They generally don't bring down the game, do you know what I mean? But I feel like there is an agenda with the Sydney media. They have too much control, too much say, and essentially when we're trying to build the game, they should be able to determine what should be said and what can't be said, and the journalists that are just out to get people, I don't know if they're, should really be celebrated. And Cameron Smith, he's the greatest, pretty much the greatest player of all time, and we're focusing on he talks for the refs too much or he has too much control over the game. Good on him, he's a great captain, but yeah, it is disappointing, like you said.
Yeah, I agree with Shandor. Being a Sydney sider myself, a big New South Wales fan, seeing Cameron dominate for so many years, it's sort of, you sort of build an agenda to not like him, but I tell everyone when I go back to Sydney, he is one of the most genuine guys you'll ever meet. He is so willing to help you, so willing to help you improve your game, and so willing to help everyone just in their everyday life. And I go back and tell people that, and they're really surprised. So, yeah, Sydney media sort of paint this picture, but when you actually get to interact with him, he is, yeah, dead set one of the best blokes.
It doesn't seem like it phases him too much, too. He sort of just cops it on the chin pretty well. So, you know, good on you, Cameron. Much respect from the Storm.
To me, the people that matter, the people that you actually want to listen to in Sydney, you know, like an Andrew Johns, would be nothing but praise for Cam Smith. But it's the people who have this, I suppose, this tall poppy syndrome that hate the fact that the power base of the NRL is no longer in Sydney. It's actually in Melbourne because the Storm are the dominant force. And they can't stand that. So anything they can try and do, these people shouldn't be listened to because they've clearly got a bias. They've clearly got an agenda. And to me, those people aren't worth listening to because they don't do anything to actually levitate the game, to raise the game up. They're dribbles.
So and that's my point in terms of the media. Take that power away from it. For me, it never seemed like rocket science, and I feel like that's done really well down in Melbourne. And there is an understanding and a general direction that they want to build the players, they want to build the game down here, and that's something that I feel like is lacking in Sydney. And unfortunately, Cameron Smith, on the back of success and playing in a Melbourne club, cops the brunt of it.
Yeah, I don't understand the want to eat your own, especially people of that caliber.
Do fans of different clubs want to hear that though? Is that what?
Well,
like
they start to
back to.
Unfortunately, sometimes fans start to buy in to the
100%.
Narrative, and then they start to say, "Look, I've spoken to a couple of Storm media managers over time who have said you should hear some of the horrible things that get said to him over the fence. Look, just mind-blowingly obscene, nasty, vitriolic for a guy that is the captain of was the captain of the country. This guy has led the country in the green and gold, and that's what people say to him. Anyway, I think he's incredible not to let it phase him. Week one of the finals, the last home game of the round is this Friday, Amy Park against the Cowboys, so we want everyone to get along for that, celebrate that minor premiership. Week one of the finals, either Friday or Saturday, NRL are going to advise the date and times on Friday of this week, but looking like South Sydney as the first opponent, that's going to be a cracking first up game for finals. That's a good test early.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And if it's anything to go off last year and it reflects that game, I think it was a 1-point win, so that'll be pretty cool to kick that back off. And Tigers Sharks this week playing for a final spot. That's also a very interesting game.
Well, Cooper, that's going to determine 8th spot. So Tigers v Sharks, Leichhardt Oval, the winner of that gets that final spot in the top 8. That's going to be huge. And is there going to be a do it for Gal factor, a do it for Paul Gallen factor for the Sharks?
I think that'll definitely be the theme of the week for the Sharks. You know, he's had a horrible record with his milestone games, his debut. And every single milestone game, 50th, 100th, through to 300th, he's lost. So, especially, and his last game at home last week, lost. So, hopefully we send Gal out. You know, Sharks send him out on a good note.
I saw Ricky Stewart the other day, Ryan Pappenhausen. He was actually crying about Paul Gallen. Tears.
Is he your mate as well?
I actually thought that he was just crying because he knew Paul Gallen. But apparently they're friends.
Yeah, I think he may have coached him along the way. So, I think he coached him and must have been good friends from there. I think Shandor's got a bit more on that.
On who? Gallen?
Gallen, well, just Ricky. The Ricky Stewart.
Hey, are you mates with Ricky, like, as close as you and Kevin?
I've spoken to Ricky on the phone, I think, when I was
producing
a show.
But no messages on Facebook.
No Facebook messages. Thanks, Kevin. Yeah, I appreciate the support. Yeah. No, and isn't it ironic that I've been saying treat Cameron Smith with respect and I've just been a complete smartass about Paul Gallen. No, we wish Paul all the best. He's been a great servant of the game as well. Quick question. You're a your bloodlines run very deep in Newcastle, Cooper Johns.
Yeah.
They've got themselves a new coach. They got rid of Nathan Brown. They said he wasn't the right man to take them to where they needed to be. So they've appointed a guy, Adam O'Brien, who's yet to actually coach a first grade rugby league game. So this is a big appointment given what they said they needed, an untried coach at this level. But he's got some good, he's done a good apprenticeship from what I understand with the Melbourne Storm, Shandor.
Yes, and, you know, with speaking of agendas, Cooper seems to be talking about this quite a lot. I don't know if he's chasing another Johns era at Newcastle off the back of a Adam O'Brien.
Wow.
I don't know what the word is, but being recruited to be coach. But I'm very excited about this. He's been with two great clubs in Melbourne and the Roosters, and if he can bring any of that to the Newcastle Knights, I think as an outsider, never really playing for the Knights or being there, but you just know that it's such a proud rugby league place. So if they can bring back, you know, a bit of a legacy to the club and some good recruitment, I'm really excited to see how Adam goes.
I'm keen to see who he gets in as assistants and people around him. who are really, I think the main thing is he needs to get someone that knows the Newcastle town, the Newcastle fans really well, because the fans pretty well run that club. Like they're the most passionate fans I've ever seen in my life. So
you want to start? You know, we get it.
Yeah, we can see what's happening here.
I just love them.
It's just a shame given you've just joined the squad of 30 for the Storm that you're just so keen to.
When did I say I was keen?
I'll bring Joey along as halves coach. Okay.
Yeah, I can get Matthew to MC all our events. No, it's going to be fascinating to see how that turns out. You never like to see coaches finished up mid-season. Ryan Pappenhausen, might start with you on this one. Interesting to see Channel 9 say that, and the story come out that they believe that Channel 9 are keen to get a second team in Brisbane ASAP. But to do that, a Sydney team has to go. Ryan Pappenhausen, which Sydney team has to go? No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that to you.
Let's do it.
I reckon he'd say the Tigers.
No, I don't know. I think
we don't want to put a target on the guy's back next time.
I think the whole idea of another Brisbane side's good, but I thought there was a bit of talk about a Perth side a few weeks ago, so it's funny how they keep changing their idea on that.
You get the feeling that this will trump that. This will absolutely supersede. Brisbane, it's the, you know, there's two main states that where rugby league is central. Queensland's one of them, and there's only one team in that capital city, and there's, is it 8 or 9 in Sydney?
Mm. Yeah.
For me, what's the catalyst for growth, though? Because we've got some clubs that are struggling.
Mm.
I'm not talking about just their football performance. I'm talking about financially. So I'd love to know what their triggers are for actually including a new team and if it's actually feasible. Do we need to take one away to include another one? I don't know. But I'm definitely all for more clubs. And as you said, if Sydney can hold 6, 7, 8, then why can't Brisbane hold 2?
Do they need an even number of teams? Because we've got 16 at the moment. They've got 17. That means one has a bye every week. Is that a possibility?
I reckon the only reason why you might not be able to do that is because you've got so many buys. That's the way Origin's going now, that there's going to be buys through Origin. So if you had another buy that had to come in,
I think
that would complicate it a little bit. But would this be something, Ryan, and ask you boys, this year the Broncos haven't had a great season in and around the 8, but their numbers are down a little bit. They haven't been able to dominate or keep themselves in the top of mind for people. The Brisbane Lions, from an AFL point of view, have finished second on the ladder. They're selling out the Gabba again. I wonder whether just having a look at the landscape this year has them saying, I'll tell you what, if the Broncos have a down year, which we're not really used to seeing, then we don't really get much. We're struggling for coverage in that area. So if you have two teams in Brisbane, there's always something to talk about. There's always rugby league every single week at Suncorp.
Great point. Keep
yourself top of mind. Do you reckon that might be part of the thinking?
Yeah, well, possibly. I think the reason Brisbane are sort of not doing as well as they were expected to this year, they've just changed coaches. Mm. So I think when you have a coach and they bring their own roster and you throw another coach in the mix, who's to say that they're happy with that roster that they've got there? You know, so it's a hard transition, but I do think it'd be good for the game having two Brisbane sides. It's just, yeah, whether or not you get rid of a Sydney one or do you bring in an extra one in a different area so have 18. But there has been talk from the players' behalf that we want less games in a year just because of all the rep stuff going on, especially post-season. It's pretty demanding on the body. So you sort of have to weigh all that up as well.
Speaking of gigs, it sounds like you're chasing an MC gig up at the Broncos.
Yeah, plugging them.
Why would I be?
Have fun at the Broncos hour. Yeah,
you and Kevin Walters, best mates.
Well, I don't think Kevy spends a whole lot of time around the Broncos anymore.
Kevy's a shoo-in for the coach for the new Brizzy team, isn't he?
Oh, he'd have to be.
Sure.
That's a smart move if you were going to do anything. You would get
imagine the text on Facebook between you two.
A lot of support between Kevin and myself. He's a good man. Hey, we've got a special guest joining us, another one. We're going to give all the updates on Intrust Super Cup, where the Sunny Coast Lightning are, NRL Victoria, before the end of the show. But up next, a man who started the Storm Hour. He actually did the first ever show of the Storm Hour. Cooper John's got him booted, and he took it that badly that he actually left the club. That's the story we're telling anyway. Scott Drinkwater, who is now the Cowboys fullback and a good friend of this show, is going to join us next on the Storm Hour because the Storm take on the Cowboys this week. So good to chat to Scott Drinkwater next on the Melbourne Storm Hour.
On SEN, this is the Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club.
Welcome back to the Storm Hour, 1300 736 736. We've got ticket to give away to the Storm's final home game of the year. It's actually against the Cowboys. Shandor Royal, Cooper Johns, Ryan Pappenhausen here, Sam Hargraves as well. This man, Shandor, started the Storm Hour this year. I believe he did the first ever episode, which might have even been a solo show. So he picked up the can and he carried it, unfortunately, and he did a show with you. And then all of a sudden, Cooper Johns white-handed him.
Unbelievable.
And he took it that badly that he actually left the Melbourne Storm. That's the story we're going with anyway, which is how much of that is true?
Quite a lot. I do know that the solo show was a bit of a slow start, but then the episode he did with me, huge ratings.
So. Yeah, but then the episode when I come in was outstanding, and the response from the public
off
and
the back
fans
of your
are
father.
So good.
Well, the result, the result of which is that Melbourne Storm player 191, Scott Drinkwater, actually left the Storm and is now the fullback for the Cowboys, but we still love him. And he's been good enough to jump on the phone ahead of the Storm taking on the Cowboys. Drinky, hello to you. Is any of that story true? Is that why you left the Storm, because Cooper Johns took your spot on the Storm Hour?
Well, about 50% is true, I reckon.
That's generous.
Cooper, is there anything you'd like to say to Scott Drinkwater?
No, I've got some questions lined up for him that I'm sure will shock him, so let's just get straight into those questions. Shandor, starting with you.
There was a bit of an agenda, Scotty. Apparently he took your top 30 position, so he was really pushing to take over the radio. So very interesting there. Scotty,
no body, mate, no crime.
We are stoked to see you doing well at the Cowboys, mate. It's been unbelievable, right? All the boys tune in each week to watch you. Talk to us about some of the major differences and how you've settled in up in Townsville.
Probably the first one is the weather. I had to get used to seeing the sun in winter again. Struggled a bit there, but probably the difference is, you know, it probably isn't much, just that I get to live the lifestyle that I probably was more used to growing up, you know, around the beaches and, as I said, the sun. So that way it's been pretty good. But yeah, definitely do miss the boys down in Melbourne. So that's been a bit, that was probably the toughest challenge.
Hey, Drinky, with this weekend, it must be a bit weird coming up against the old side. Who do you think, you know a lot about the systems, everything. Who's the biggest threat this week for you guys?
For us, it has to be Cameron Smith.
Yeah.
For me, it's Justin Olam, bloody down to my ribcage.
Yeah, I wouldn't be calling out the back on his side. Now on the other end of the scale, who's someone that you're going to target? Who's the worst player on the side this week?
I'm going after my roomie Brendan Smith when he gets on.
Yes. Good.
And Drinky, Paps here. Just wanted to ask, what have you taken from the Storm that you've sort of put into the Cowboys system or Cowboys side? What's your biggest sort of learning curve out of the Storm that you're putting into your game at the moment?
Probably from the Storm, more from Billy, just being, an effort area player. Trying to get the ball in the full, bringing the ball back hard and making sure the defensive line is always set with the correct numbers. That's something Billy was pretty big on. So, yeah, probably that type of stuff. Mm.
Sam's got a question for you too. He's just hesitant. Sorry.
No.
Go on, Sam.
He doesn't watch a lot of rugby league.
Well, I do. I like to watch a lot. I'm a big Storm fan, as we all know. Just talk to about the Cowboys organisation, Scotty. It's another one that I think a lot of people have a fair bit of respect for. It hasn't been a great season for you so far, but, a premiership not that long ago, 2016, they're a fantastic organisation. And I suppose being in a smaller town, you guys are sort of, heroes within Townsville. What's that been like, the difference between going from, Melbourne Storm to a place where you guys are, would walk down the street and sort of be mobbed wherever you went?
I'll correct you there. It was 2015, not 2016, a premiership.
I knew there was a reason why we got rid of you on this show.
That's the Sammy we know.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. It was 2015.
No, it's all right. I get free haircuts. So I don't mind that. That's all. the community is pretty, they're not never negative towards, any of the players. No, it has been a tough, 2 years for the club. So, the support from the North Queensland is not just Townsville, but, they come from all over North Queensland to every week to support us. So, it's a tremendous town, and, just the organisation, it's been one of the powerhouse clubs for the past 6-7 years along with the Melbourne Storm. So, it's very professional. It's got great leaders, and, the coach has, been the 2 grand finals in 5 years. So, he's a great coach, just like Belzer. So, not too much change from a professional sort of way. So, yeah, it's been good.
Well, Scotty, it's been good to catch up with you again. We appreciate you opening the bowling as you did at the start of this year for the Storm Hour. It's great to see how well things are going for you at the Cowboys. I hope that you enjoy the moment this weekend, this Friday night, taking on the boys again, and hopefully there's a good bit of banter out on the field and maybe you can stitch up your old housemate.
Thanks, mate.
See you, bro. See you on Friday.
See you, Scott.
See you, boys.
Bye, Scott.
Scotty Drinkwater, what a good bloke considering all the things that Cooper Johns did to him. I think he's handled that really well.
I mean, how good? He has to go up to Townsville to get free haircuts. You get free haircuts all the time.
I do them myself.
Yeah, exactly. You're bald.
I'm aware. I do that. I use a razor, and that's what this is.
Wouldn't you believe what timing? We've just got a live text message that's coming again, and they've basically said this is Fiona from Frankston. It's a text message. She's actually said that, can we just scrap Sam Hargraves and get Ryan Pappy as the host? Wow.
Wow, maybe in the next segment we could do that.
All right, fine. All right, that's what you want, be careful what you wish for. Ryan Pappenhausen's here on the Storm Hour. When we come back, he will be hosting and we'll be doing through the Intrust Super Cup update. We'll find out where the Sunny Coast Lightning are at, the NRL Victoria as well, and we'll be doing T-Bone of the Week. I'm fairly sure I know where mine's going.
Just send it to the ad break. There's a new host in town.
All right, Sam. Fine. After this, on the Melbourne Storm Hour, I'll take a back seat. Ryan Pappenhausen will be in the host chair. Storm Hour on SEN.
The Melbourne Storm Hour on SEN. Catch up with Shandor Earl and Cooper Johns as they bring us the latest from inside Melbourne's own NRL team. Tonight on 11:16 SEN.
We are the Storm and we're number one.
On SEN, this is the Melbourne Storm Hour. Melbourne Storm, our city, your club.
Welcome back to the Storm Hour. It's Ryan Pappenhausen taking over from Sam Hargraves. We've got Shandor Earl and Cooper Johns in the studio, as always. We're going to just touch on the Intrust Super Cup that's just gone down, running into finals this week. The Falcons, minor premiers as well, so they get a home final against Townsville. Lads, any update on how you boys are travelling?
Mate, travelling good on the week. We had a slow start to the game on the weekend. We come back with a draw, but, you know, it's definitely something that'll open our eyes and hopefully we can, you know, really build a really good final series, something special.
Yeah, it was a tough game. I mean, Ipswich, they're a strange team for those who haven't seen much of the Q Cup. The Walker brothers coach them and they throw the ball around, offloads everything. They'll run backwards if they can to gain an advantage. So it was a little bit different for a well-drilled Sunny Coast team with a lot of players out. But as Cooper said, we came back. Cooper kicked a goal to keep us in contention. I cherry-picked a try. Probably could have had three more if Coops had kicked it to me. But at the end of the day, we finished with the draw.
Let me know about it too. He kept screaming, just give me the ball. Mate, be quiet.
Falcons are flying then in that regard. And the other NRL feeder team, the East Tigers, through to the finals as well. They scraped in on the back of seven losses in a row, which is pretty rare.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
They face the North Devils, so that'll be a tough one for them.
Let's not talk too much about them. What else we got on the run sheet?
We've got the NRL Victoria this Saturday at Werribee. So the A-grade men's decider is Truganina Rabbitohs against the Altona Roosters.
Wow.
Who started the season 0-5.
There you go.
And beat the Werribee Bears in the prelim.
What a great strong club, and the Werribee Bears, one of the good clubs, one of the great clubs, eh?
Might be a little good luck charm for the East if they've come back from that that number. Werribee Bears are good. I went out to visit them in the in our back to your club day, and the Truganina Rabbitohs, so that should be good. A repeat of the major final won by the Bears. There you go, Sam. Ooh, you probably know all about that. You're an avid follower of all rugby league. We'll let you can speak now.
Oh, I'm back in now.
No,
yep,
just,
sweet. Thanks,
just a little, just a little
just
comment.
Just an opinion. Yep, sweet. Thanks, Sam. Next, just Ryan?
Yes or no? Yes or no? And also the Sunshine Coast Lightning, our netball side flying at the moment. They've just won on the weekend, so they moved to the grand final, I think it is.
Yeah, the grand final.
After beating the Swifts in a major semi. So
They're going for three in a row. Three-peat.
How good was the game on the weekend, Shannon?
Unbelievable, mate.
We took a few of the Sunshine Coast Falcons boys when we were up there. And, you know, a very dominant display from the Lightning.
The footwork, the game awareness, the shooting, the camaraderie. Laws was on fire too. Good old Laws.
Laura Langren.
Great friend of the show. She listens in.
So. Oh, beautiful.
Oh, sorry, I don't know why I'm looking at you, Sam. I don't know why I'm looking at it.
So we've actually just got another live text message, which is it's from Wayne from Werribee, and he said, this is now more uncomfortable than ever. We can hear Sam heavy breathing into the microphone. Should we get him back in, boys?
Yeah,
we'll let him do what he does.
It's only fitting that he can come introduce the T-Bones because he is one.
Great to work from Ryan Pappenhausen. Let's give that man a round of applause.
Can we add the cheer button?
He did a very, very good job. Yeah, we can do a little cheer there. I'll just get that going.
Is it like
there
little children? Like, eh.
I hope it doesn't sound if like
yes. There we go.
If I'd have known we had access to that this whole season, mate, that would have
15 weeks later, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. What was that, Chandler? Did you want something?
What's his fuel by fire?
There's an actual soundboard. We wanted a soundboard.
This is a joke.
Yeah. No, you're right, Cooper. Right. So the official beer of the Melbourne Storm, Brick Lane Brewing Company, have decided it's only fair to give the Storm the recognition it deserves by introducing the limited edition Melbourne Storm 2019 can. How about that?
That's good. Awesome.
This is very exciting. Born and brewed in Melbourne at Billy Slater's own Brick Lane Brewing Co. He's got his hands everywhere, Billy Slater. Fingers in pies. The cans are now on sale at the Tap House and from selected grape bottle shops across Vic and Queensland, because Storm, you know, the unofficial fourth Queensland side as well. Much loved up in Queensland, the Melbourne Storm. How good's that? The Melbourne Storm's got its own beer.
100%. Head down to the tunnel after the game and little Pappy's actually going to be waiting around to sign all beer cans. Please hand it to him. Don't throw them. We don't want another incident.
I don't know about
we
that
don't. We don't. And if no one's looking, he will shotgun. No, he won't. Please drink responsibly. Yeah. But that is fantastic. Brick Lane Brewing Co. Check it out on their website. Go to the Melbourne Storm website as well if you want to know where you can find them. That is a great initiative and will be very enjoyable come finals time.
Good old Brick Lane.
Who doesn't like a good old beer?
Well, what do you mean a good old beer? Like an aged beer?
Just a good old beer. Just something that, you know, you'd get home from a hard day's work and you sit back in the recliner chair, put the feet up and just say, pass me the old frothy.
Brick Lane Brewing Co., Melbourne's beer.
I could do an ad for them, I reckon.
Sounds like we sort of just did. Righto. So this is our favourite time of the week, 1-300-736-736. If you'd like to nominate someone for a T-Bone of the Week, I've got double passes for the Storm taking on the Cowboys at Amy Park this Friday. So if you've got a T-Bone that you'd like to nominate, 1-300-736-736 for the T-Bone of the Week. Who would like to get the ball rolling? Ryan, you're our special guest. Come have you got on, a Ryan. T-Bone for us?
Yes, Sorry, I do. What? For those who don't know what a T-bone is.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Have we got the soundbite over there? Or?
Okay, so take it away, Chandler Real. Why do we give away the T-bone of the Week award?
Great friend of the show, Cameron Munster. He lived with a couple of the boys. They decided to nickname themselves the Porterhouse. Why not go and commemorate it with a tattoo? So they did. Unfortunately, Cameron Munster got a tattoo of a T-bone steak. What an idiot. Therefore, we like to celebrate Idiot of the Week award. Add the cheer button now. Ryan, little Pappy Pappenhausen, kick us off.
Yes, I'll start us off. Our recent away trip to Manly. It's Coop's little mate, Harry Grant, actually, is my T-bone of the week.
Good.
It was about 4 degrees in Manly, and he decided that it'd be a good idea to go for a swim. I'm not sure if it's a routine or he was just trying to show off, but that's my T-bone because 4 degrees going into the water, I don't think that's
acceptable. Did it look cold when he got out? Nice work, Sam.
Thank you. Cooper, have you got a T-bone for us?
I'm actually going to pass it over to Shando. I want him to go before me.
Yeah, no worries. It's a hard act to follow, I'll let you know. But for me, it's the great Sam Hargraves.
Oh, something different.
Oh, yeah. The apprentice to our great show here. I've got a little daily double for you. He's rocked in this morning with a brand new rawhide satchel from
Portenhide.
From a company in Brisbane. And apparently he gets the hookups because he's a well-known D-grade celebrity in Brisbane.
Never said that.
It's a custom-made satchel, and, you know, it's not one of my preferences. And for all our fans out there, you would agree it's a T-bone. Followed by, we walked into the office today, and an employee here at the Croc Media decided to remind Sam that he'd left his pink scarf in the commentary box at one of the games, which is quite embarrassing. So
it wasn't pink.
Between the scarf and your custom satchel, mate, you're doing it tough this week. Medium rare T-bone.
Oh, wow.
Can I just say that the satchel, it's a messenger bag that goes on my motorbike. Yeah. So they've developed a custom frame for it that hooks on, and then the bag sits in and latches on to the frame, and then I can take it off and put it back on as I like. The very good people at Portenhide have been very nice to send me that, and it is a beautiful leather number. And I
the
think
best
it looks,
result is it actually falls off the back of the bike.
It doesn't fall off the back of the bike, and it was a grey scarf. not a pink scarf, but yet it still was a scarf. Cooper, are you going or am I going?
Well, it seems like it's all about you right now, so you go.
I don't ask for this.
Yes, you did. But you asked him to say
you
it.
You back me into a corner week in, week out. Bullying has been come to mind and HR onto it.
So it's a little bit more serious, so let's go one more knock around.
Okay, well, speaking of motorbikes, which Shandor does not have, I was looking at Instagram the other day and I was just saw Shandor Earle's story come about and he's got a little selfie with him at a major intersection in Melbourne and then there's one of him walking along with a can of fuel. And I'm thinking, what's happening here? Shandor, who drives a pearl white scooter,
beautiful,
had run out of fuel and it was on the side of the road, traffic banked up. And instead of getting out of the way and letting people get on with their day, you're taking selfies, taking Instagram stories. One, how does a grown man, how does an adult run out of fuel when there's clearly a gauge there that will show you how much fuel is left, and then instead of getting up and about, instead of getting on with it very quickly, you actually hold up traffic for a good, it looked like an hour to me. So for being on a scooter, one, running out of fuel, two, and ruining people's day, three, Shandor, you are a T-bone.
Oh, wow, you self-tibed yourself.
What was going on there, please? Hang on.
Mate, I mean, it happens, you know. It's the same way, I don't know, to be honest. I was rattled. I stopped at the intersection. I did take it off the road, mind you, before I started getting the selfies. Mm. But, you know, how does it happen? I don't know. How does a middle-aged man lose their hair? It's God's will.
Yeah. How does rain happen? Exactly. We'll never know. Anyway, talking about rain.
I think we do.
No, we don't, Sam. Just be quiet.
Precipitation.
Just be quiet. Anyway. Just quickly, this wasn't mine, but Shannon just lifted up his arms. He's wearing a jumper, and somehow the sweat patches have still leaked through to his arm. It dead set looks like Niagara Falls under there, ladies and gentlemen. That looks horrendous.
Yeah. Patches O'Houlihan.
Honestly, I could do the breaststroke under there.
What else looks hilarious?
It's my time to shine. You've
someone
done
with two cowlicks.
Well, anyway, let's just get back on it. Sam, you don't have hair to talk about, so let's just be quiet.
This wasn't a choice, mate.
Anyway, yes, it was.
That was.
You shaved it.
Your T-bone.
Anyway, T-Bone, it goes to a former Storm player who's now moved on to the Sharks, Caleb Milne, young Kiwi fella. He's in hospital actually at the moment because he got attacked by a pit bull staffie at the place at his homestay. Mm. So he walked in the door, the pit bull staffie jumped
looks
up,
pretty bad.
Bit him on the face, and this is not for Caleb, by the way. I'm not T-boning him.
I was going to say, this is brutal.
I'm T-boning the pit bull staffie.
Yep.
And it's ironic because obviously they do like T-bones, so he, I don't know whether he's going to like it or hate it, but for him to jump up and bite Caleb, my friend and my colleague, on the face, you're a T-bone, and I don't like you. So
you know what's sad about this, Sam? Although it is funny, the popularity of this show bringing that to light, that staffie may be euthanized. So that's pretty sad. That's pretty sad from Cooper.
Yeah. Cooper, but speaking directly to the staffie like he's listening right now, and maybe tilting his head to the side.
Maybe Caleb's got it in the house on loudspeaker, so maybe it'll hear and he'll know. He's a bad boy. Go to the corner, you bad dog.
Oh, boy, it's been another very entertaining episode of the Storm Hour. Thank you very much, Shandor Earle, Cooper Johns, and right about our very special guest, Ryan Pappenhausen.
Yeah,
didn't he do a fantastic job?
Cheer,
another round of applause. Boys, it's a big few weeks coming up. The Storm taking on the Cowboys this Friday night in the final home game of the year at Amy Park. Make sure we get along to support the Storm. They've finished minor premiers, so go and show your appreciation. They've got the new beer as well, thanks to Brick Lane Brewing Company. That's exciting. Boys, Sunny Coast Lightning for both of you into the finals as well. And then in a couple of weeks' time, NRL finals is here, the best time of the year. It's looking like Storm taking on Rabbitohs, and hopefully the Storm can get redemption for the grand final loss last week. Thank you very much, boys. You're all superstars.
Thanks, Sam.
You're not.
See you next week.
You're not.
Sometimes needing new tyres can catch us by surprise. That's why Tyre Power gives you the power of Zip Pay and Zip Money. You can get what you need now, get back on the road safely, and pay for it later. Terms and conditions apply. So visit tyrepower.com.au or call 13 21 91.